ending diversity hiring practices in the United States.
I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life.
What this means for employers and people who want to get hired.
Well, it remains to be seen. So the laws are still on a book, Title VII, as well as state laws that state that an employer cannot discriminate against individuals based on their race and other protected categories.
This is The Issue from VOA.
I'm Scott Walterman.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life.
Fulfilling another campaign promise, President Donald Trump issues a sweeping order to end the government's diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, marking a sea change for the country.
Reuters correspondent Ryan Chang walks us through the executive order and what it impacts.
Executive orders Trump signed Tuesday dismantled federal DEI programs and placed their employees on paid leave.
Could you imagine Biden doing this? I don't think so.
He and his supporters say these programs are discriminatory and weaken the importance of merit in job hiring or promotion. Separately, Trump has escalated pressure on the private sector to ditch diversity programs by signing an order that aims to dissuade firms on government contracts from using DEI programs and hiring on the basis of race and sex. One order he signed asks government agencies to name up to 9 publicly traded corporations, large nonprofits or associations, foundations, and more, which would be targets for what it called, quote, civil compliance investigations. The order demanding federal agencies to dismantle DEI programs had revoked executive policies dating as far as 1965 on equal employment opportunities, environmental actions designed to protect communities of color, and workforce balancing efforts by federal contractors based on race, gender, and religion. Though the order signed on Tuesday says employment preferences for military veterans could continue.
People in favor of the change say these laws were discriminatory. Among them, Jonathan Butcher, senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation.
Present discrimination is necessary because of past discrimination. Future discrimination will be necessary for present discrimination. That is in itself the thesis of how DEI operates. And that is not the message that we should be giving either to employees today or to students, that they need to rely on the government to practice discrimination in order for them to have a chance at the good life or the chance at the American dream, right? We should be telling them that the government's role is to get obstacles out of the way. And when there are racist incidents, when there are racist acts that happen, we absolutely should call the government's attention to it and expect, right, that justice be done.
People against the change include Deborah Vagins, the national campaign director of Equal Rights Advocates.
Merit means that people get the jobs that they are qualified for, that they have experience for, and that they are promoted without any elements of discrimination seeping into the process. Unfortunately, America has a very long history of excluding people based on different factors, race, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, disability status, on and on and on. The DEI programs were instituted to correct for that, to allow the merit of a person to be the determining factor of whether or not they had a position and what opportunities they could have. If you eliminate these programs, we return to a time when discrimination rules the day.
Lori, this is a really big, long, complicated executive order. It overturns executive orders that go all the way back to 1965 and President Lyndon Johnson.
I know, and I read it, and I got very confused, you know, of what it means and the legalities because of...
I know. Well, first of all, you really kind of have to be a lawyer to understand what's in this executive order.
Well, joining us to help us unwind this vast executive order is employment attorney Angela Reddick Wright. She's the founding and managing partner of the Reddick Law Group.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being able to take the time and talk to us about this.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking.
So this is a huge executive order. It's expansive. It it undoes things that go all the way back to 1965. Can you just give us an overview of what you think it does?
Well, in a nutshell, it essentially does away with all federal programs and prohibits all federal agencies from engaging in any efforts to right the wrongs of the past and to level the playing field for those who've been traditionally disenfranchised, such as African Americans, other people of color, women, individuals with disabilities, and the list goes on and on. Embedded in our system of laws, we have Title VII in particular, which protects individuals in terms of opportunities in employment and in business prohibits them from being discriminated against or retaliated against based on their race, their gender, their disability, their religion, and several other protected factors. And so what this has done through executive orders, you know, bypassing the laws that are on the books, attempts to do away essentially with the core principles of Title VII and all of the executive orders and policies and practices that support the enforcement of Title VII across government agencies and beyond.
I'm a little confused because there's the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and then the DEI policies, diversity, equity, inclusion. In the executive order, it starts by saying civil rights protections serve as a bedrock supporting equality and opportunity for all Americans. And as president, I have the solemn duty to ensure these laws are enforced. I'm confused about is it the later versions of diversity, equity, inclusion, or is this
in the laws in the book?
Revoking the civil rights laws? Is it one in the same?
It is,
it's confusing.
Right. So as we know it, Title VII still of the Civil Rights Act, Title VII still stands, right? That's still the law of the land. But oftentimes, the way laws are enforced is through executive orders, through policies, through practices. So there were a number of executive orders and longstanding policies and practices within the government that created affirmative action, that created DEI policies, all with the goal of helping to support the enforcement of laws like Title VII, the Civil Rights Act. So Title VII is still on the books, and what the current administration is doing under President number 47 is basically saying that Title VII was intended to protect everyone based on race, ethnicity, gender, etc. And we believe that by having specific policies in place, like DEI, affirmative action, and other policies, that goes against the core of Title VII. So there's sort of putting a different play on Title VII by saying that it's intended to protect everyone independent of race and ethnicity. And that is true. But what we have to do and what we learn in law school is you can't just look at the law. You have to look at the legislative history to understand what was intended by that law. And so if we look at the legislative history and all of the debates on the congressional floor that led to the creation of Title VII and similar laws, those laws clearly were intended to right the wrongs toward traditionally disenfranchised people in the country, right? Yes, they do protect everyone, but they were specifically put into place to advance opportunities, to ensure that those who were not in the majority had an opportunity to fairly compete in terms of employment, in terms of business, and other opportunities. So number four, President 47 is putting a slightly different or a major different slant on it by saying that anything that attempts to enforce Title VII through DEI, through affirmative action, basically goes against the principles of Title VII. So putting a different spin on it that I would argue that goes against the legislative history and the intent of laws like Title VII. So it's still on the books, just all of the policies that help to enforce it and help to ensure we meet the principles and the idea behind the law are now being done away with.
I read an article today that I'm trying to think who it was. It was one of the big box discount organizations. Somebody was fighting their shareholders who said they're going to leave their affirmative action programs in place, and the shareholders were afraid that the government's going to come after them, because part of this executive order is every department in the government needs to identify private corporations, bar associations, organizations in America that they can take to court to say that you're discriminating against people by using affirmative action. How does this work technically in employment law?
Well, it remains to be seen. So the laws are still on a book, Title VII, as well as state laws that state that an employer cannot discriminate against individuals based on their race and other protected categories. So those laws still stand. So I imagine what's going to happen is if a company is still, in the government's view, still considering race, in particular, disenfranchised, racial identities and gender and other factors in employment, then the government's going to sue them, or individual or organizations like the same organization that sued Harvard Law School. That case led to the banning of affirmative action in higher education. They're going to be challenging these policies, these practices, hiring decisions in court. So I think it's going to play out in our court system, ultimately make it up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court will make a decision as to whether it thinks any efforts by employers to provide opportunity to disenfranchised individuals goes against Title VII of the Civil Rights Act and other state laws. So this is also new. I don't think we know yet exactly how it's going to play out. And for those companies that are still choosing to stand by their DEI, quote unquote, policies and practices, I think they're going to be the ones leading and will be the ones sued and defending these policies in court. And I don't think we'll know for sure what happens until or how it plays out for the long term until it gets to the desk of the Supreme Court.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this and helping us understand it.
Thank you. I hope I was able to provide some insights.
That was employment attorney Angela Reddick Wright joining us from Los Angeles.
Very complicated, very strong arguments on both sides of this issue.
The reality is, this is really a bedrock American kind of exercise where you have two different points of view and you have this debate and this pendulum, right? They often describe the direction of the federal government here in the United States is a pendulum. It swings back and forth, sometimes to the left, sometimes to the right, with the eye on finding that middle balance.
This one was particularly interesting and complex to understand, obviously, because it's been on the books for so long and have been updated so many times.
It's a complicated issue.
It is complicated for sure. And
because you're addressing originally an inequality that you wanted to right. That's what Title VII, the civil rights law, was about. People who didn't have that equal opportunity, and this was giving them a leg up. And there are a lot of people that believe that the time for this has passed.
You've been listening to The Issue from The Voice of America.
On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thanks so much for joining us.
Follow The Issue on X, Blue Sky, and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24 hours a day, check out our website at voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you soon.